Terrorism has been present throughout the ages. Even before there was a name for it, it existed. The likes of Pharaoh and the police state he had built on fear and surveillance rival what many countries are engaged in the world today. How does the Quran present this ugly act and show us that throughout the ages, people have been persecuted for many things, including their religion? Today, we review the topic of the roots of terrorism, the scourge of the earth. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for 2021. Today being the 28th day of this blessed month of Ramadan. And only a couple more days left of fasting and connectivity to Allah. Today we want to look at this topic of the roots of terrorism, the scourge of the earth. And you know, terrorism is something which this world has faced not only this year or not only the last decade or century, but it's been there for millennia. The Quran actually speaks about one of the most atrocious acts of terrorism ever in the world today. But before I go to that, what really is the definition of terrorism? Because, you know, one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist, as they say. And there really is no one definition of what a terrorism is, or what a terrorist is rather, or what is terrorism. And it really differs based on who is seeking to define it, to meet their own agendas. So you ask certain countries in the world that have been guilty of bombing other countries into submission, and they will give you their definition of terrorism. You ask people on the other side of the world who are of a different skin color of what a terrorist is, and they'll point you to another direction of maybe that same country that has bombed them, killing thousands and tens of thousands of innocent men, women, and children, or launched invasions in their countries for no reason at all. But the general definition of terrorism is that it's the unlawful use of violence and intimidation, especially against civilians in the pursuit of political aims. Now, that's the general definition of it. Obviously, we know that terrorism knows no boundaries, neither color, nor race, nor religion, or any other identifier. Whether you're a left wing, or you're a right wing, whether you're part of this political party or that political party, it doesn't make a difference. Unfortunately, you know, the media today, meaning in the last, let's say, 25 to 30 years, that it's shifted into the hands of a few families, a few individuals with their own personal agendas. This media likes to portray people of one particular color or one particular religion as being the main culprits of acts of violence and terrorism. However, I would submit to you today that if you were to study the acts of domestic terrorism in North America alone, you get a radically different picture of who are mostly responsible. They're not people from out of the country who have a darker skin tone, who follow an so-called Eastern religion. It's the homegrown individuals who are born and brought up in these Western societies who are the prime culprits. When you look at the killings that are happening, the mass shootings, they're not done by people of color. When you look at people who have blown up buildings with thousands of pounds of bomb-making material, they're people who are born and brought up in their own country. They're not coming from another part of the world. And so we realize, brothers and sisters, that terrorism knows no boundaries. Now, it's not my goal today to point out the obvious or to point fingers at one group over the other. You know, we have to realize that as human beings, as believers, that terrorism, whether it be by an individual, whether it be by a religion, whether it be by a political group, or whether it be done by a government when they drop a bomb on a village or a town, or they invade a country using false information presented to the United Nations, that terrorism is terrorism by government or an individual, and all are guilty before God on the day of judgment. Unfortunately, in this world, they will get away with it. They will bomb countries into submission and kill and rape and put people into prison with no, not being charged with any crime for 20 years. And they may be never accountable or held to be accountable in this world. But rest assured that as believers, we accept the fact that there will be a day of judgment and they will be made to pay on that day. They may not see justice in this world, unfortunately, but they will pay the ultimate price in the world to come. And we pray that God deals with them, not with his mercy, but with his justice. You know, as I said, that terrorism has its roots in humanity. Unfortunately, there have been evil people throughout the ages, and the Quran has spoken about these evil people and their ways. You know, there is a story which I want to just briefly mention before I go into the verses from Surah Al-Buruj, where Allah speaks about a group of people who were persecuted because of their religion. These were people who were living in Yemen. This is going back over 1,000 years. And they were staunch adherents to Christianity. They believed that Prophet Jesus was the prophet of God. They believed in the message of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. And so they were Christians. Well, the king of the time, Dhu Nawas, as his name is reported, converted from whatever tradition he followed to go into the fold of Judaism, of whatever shape it took at that time. And in order to exert his power and influence and expand his grip on the region, he decided to make these Christians convert to his faith or to face the penalty. And so Allah refers to these people as Ashabul Ukhdud, the individuals, the companions of the ditch. And what ended up happening, before I give you the verses for today and some points of reflection, is that he brought these Christians to him. A huge ditch was built. Firewood was placed into it. A fire was lit. A massive fire was lit. And he brought, basically would bring a person forth. A man who was a follower of the religion of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. And he would say to him, convert to my faith or die. And those, obviously, they were believers. They would never, you know, a true believer will never give in and convert or leave their teachings, even if it means death. And so when they would say, well, we will stay on our path of Christianity, they were thrown into the fire alive to die, to burn to death. Others would be killed, decapitated, and thrown. One after the other, to the point where hundreds, if not thousands, were killed in this form of terrorism, intimidation, coercion. And as the Quran shows, that their only crime was that they were believers. And it's interesting because, as we'll see in this verse, that the Quran goes on to mention that these people who were doing the crimes against humanity, they were sitting back, watching, laughing, not saying a thing. So even those who were not guilty of the crime were complicit because of them sitting around and giving their tacit approval to the killing of innocent men, women, and children by the hundreds or by the thousands. So what does Allah say in chapter number 85, Surah Al-Buruj, verses number 4 through to 8? Well, God says the following. قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُؤُودِ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودِ وَمَا نَكَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. Ruined were the people of the ditch, of the fire kept burning with fuel, while they were seated next to it, and were themselves witnesses of what they did to the believers. They detested them for no other reason that they believed in God, the All-Glorious, the All-Praiseworthy. So you see, brothers and sisters, terrorism that we see today by the likes of Daesh or ISIS or Al-Qaeda or Sipah Sahaba or all of these groups, whether they be in Pakistan or in India or in Afghanistan or in Iraq or in Syria or in the Arabian Peninsula or in Yemen, wherever they may be, they are not the first to be the aggressors. The Quran has shown us that there have been people in the past who persecuted people of religion only because of the fact that they followed a particular way of life, an ideology that they, the aggressors, did not see eye to eye with. And unfortunately, this has continued till today, where we saw what happened in Iraq at Camp Spiker, where hundreds, if not thousands, were shot in the head and thrown into the river, shot and killed, shot and thrown. It's like that those individuals took a page out of the Quran and enacted what they read, which they should have learned from in a positive way. They enacted the same crime against humanity. As I conclude for today on this blessed day of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, let me leave with a few points of reflection. Point number one, as Muslims, and actually people of any religion or no religion, we must always declare our disgust with and express our revulsion with acts of hatred against anyone, and must always condemn acts of violence against defenseless, innocent people. Point number two, we must never forget the innocent men, women, and children of the world who have lost their lives to acts of aggression. While we cannot ignore the oppressors, we need to recognize the victims and keep their memory alive and resolve to ensure that others do not fall victim to the same types of crimes. Point number three, and we conclude, is that terrorism is a charged word with a very highly disputed definition. And it is usually those who write history who determine who is the terrorist and who is the victim. People of conscience must ensure that the oppressors, whether that's a nation state or a political ideology, are never in a position to define who the aggressor is. God willing, we will continue tomorrow in Ramadan Reflections for 2021. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.